The reading today is Amos chapter 9. Please follow along in your Bibles. Amos chapter 9. I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and he said, "Strike the tops of the pillars so that the thresholds shake. Bring them down on the heads of all the people. Those who are left I will kill with the sword. Not one will get away. None will escape. Though they dig down to the depths of the grave, from there my hand will take them. Though they climb up to the heavens, from there I will bring them down. Though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, there I will hunt them down and seize them. Though they hide from me at the bottom of the sea, there I will command the serpent to bite them. Though they are driven into exile by their enemies, there I will command the sword to slay them. I will fix my eyes upon them for evil and not for good. The Lord Almighty, he who touches the earth and it melts, and all who live in it mourn. The whole land rises like the Nile, then sinks like the river of Egypt. He who builds his lofty palace in the heavens and sets its foundation on the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land, the Lord is his name." "Are not the Israelites the same to me as the Cushites, declares the Lord? Did I not bring Israel up from Egypt, the Philistines from Captor, and the Arameans from Kir? Surely the eyes of the sovereign Lord are on the sinful kingdom. I will destroy it from the face of the earth, yet I will not totally destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord. For I will give the command, and I will shake the house of Israel among all the nations, as grain is shaken in a sieve, and not a pebble will reach the ground. All the sinners among my people will die by the sword, and those who say disaster will not overtake or meet us. In that day I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. I will bring back my exiled people Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. And thank you, Jen, for reading Amos chapter 9 for us. The final chapter of Amos is upon us, and it's been a journey of judgment, both for the nation of Israel and for the church, and even for us. We have seen that God hates impartiality. He hates when we treat people differently because of their background or their upbringing. He has spoken through Moses through various pictures and prophecies showing that the house of Israel would be removed forever. And today, we see the finality of that prophecy and the hope that God brings with it. In this chapter, we will see the severity of God's judgment, the supremacy that God has to fulfill that promise, the shaking sieve of God's mercy, and the salvation promise for our future. Let's begin with the severity of God's judgment, verses 1 to 4. "I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and he said, 'Strike the tops of the pillars so that the thresholds shake. Bring them down on the heads of all the people. Those who are left, I will kill with the sword. Not one will get away. None will escape. Though they dig down to the depths of the grave, From there, my hand will take them. Though they climb up to the heavens, from there, I will bring them down. Though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, there, I will hunt them down and seize them. Though they hide from me at the bottom of the sea, there, I command the serpent to bite them. And though they are driven into exile by the enemies, there, I will command the sword to slay them. I will fix my eyes upon them for evil and not for good. This is the promise that God finally says, you have no more chances. You have sinned too far, and now you must pay the price. No one will escape. No one shall have a respite. No matter where you hide, you will receive God's judgment. No grave, no sky, no mountain, no sea, no country will be able to be safe for these people to hide. God says he has fixed his eyes on them for evil and not for good. Remember, this prophecy was specifically directed towards the Northern Kingdom, the 10 tribes of Israel. And God is speaking directly to that nation, no longer with pictures like ripe fruit from last week or the locust, the fire, and the plumb line from 2 weeks. Time is now up. And he is speaking directly to them. And his final word means destruction and death. There is nothing here showing any chance of repentance or restoration. In the same way that Sodom and Gomorrah's time was up, so now the Northern Kingdom had to pay for their sins. He's finished with his warnings, and now the punishment is coming. Israel will be destroyed. And according to this entry in the Encyclopedia Britannica, following the conquest of the Northern Kingdom by the Assyrians in 721 BC, the 10 tribes were gradually assimilated by other peoples and thus disappeared from history. The Northern Kingdom has been wiped off the face of the earth. God said that he would do it, and he did it. How and why? Let's look at verses 5 and 6 and see the supremacy that God has to fulfill this promise. The Lord Almighty, he who touches the earth and it melts, and all who live in it mourn. The whole land rises like the Nile, then sinks like the river of Egypt. He who builds his lofty palace in the heavens and sets its foundation on the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land. The Lord is his name. God wanted the people who remained to know who it was that had judged this nation. The power that he has. And although the rest of this chapter has been written in the past tense, these two verses are written in the present tense. It describes who God is and what he is able to do. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who was and who is to come. He is the Lord Almighty, the creator of all the earth, the supplier and sustainer of all who live here. He gives and he takes away. Blessed be his name. The Lord is his name. There can be no mistake. It's not the Assyrians that have removed Israel. It is God who used the Assyrians as a chess piece with his purposes and prophecies being fulfilled. God is a just and merciful judge, and so when he declares his judgment, it will be fulfilled. There can be no doubt that when God speaks, what he says will happen. And so what he said in the past, he once again reminds the hearers of his prophecies. Although the nation of Israel is about to be destroyed, he has made a promise to the house of Jacob. And so now we'll continue reading about the shaking sieve of God's mercy from verses 7 to 10. Are not you Israelites the same to me as the Cushites, declares the Lord? Did I not bring Israel up from Egypt, the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Armenians from Kir? Surely the eyes of the sovereign Lord are on the sinful kingdom. I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Yet I will not totally destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord. For I will give the command, and I will shake the house of Israel among all the nations. As grain is shaken in a sieve, not a pebble will reach the ground. All the sinners among my people will die by the sword. All those who say disaster will not overtake or meet us. Here in verse 7, God shows us that he chose Israel, not because of their goodness, but because of his mercy. He is God over all the nations, over all the earth. He could just as easily have chosen the Cushites, or the Philistines, or the Armenians. Each of these nations he saved from other nations. But he chose Israel. And so, as Luke 12:48 says, to whom much is given, much is required. Israel was especially chosen. They were given God's law and became sinful. Yet by the mercy and grace of our God, there were still some that have not sinned from the house of Jacob, which now gets changed to the covenant name of Israel. God promises to shake that promised nation through the sieve of the judgment. And even if you had a pebble of sin, you will not make it. All the sinners would die by the sword. That sieve allows the final two tribes, the southern kingdom, to continue. Why? Because the promises of God that he made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The promises that he made to King David, that David's line would still continue. And so here we see the nation as a whole will be broken. But there will be a sin, and there will be a respite, and some will make it through, a remnant. If this was to be the end of the book, it would be a difficult prophecy to understand. But there are still five more verses where we see the salvation promise for the future. Let's read verses 11 to 15. In that day, I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman, and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. I will bring back my exiled people, Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. We now get to see so much more than the previous readers of Amos had seen. we get to hear about that day. That day when God will take the broken and fallen tent of David, the nation that is made up of the children of Abraham, and repair it, restore it, and build it back up. That day will be a day when God himself fixes what is broken in this world, where he restores the line of David and the heirs of Abraham into their rightful place. And after that day will come, as verse 13 says, more days, days of plenty, days of reward. When will this day happen? Who will be a part of this nation? Actually, the answer is found in the New Testament. James tells us in the book of Acts, where he quotes from Amos at the Council of Jerusalem. Let me just give you a bit of context. Paul and Barnabas had been preaching to non-Jewish people, and the church were wondering if they were able to be a part of God's kingdom. And so this council had come together to make a decision on whether the gospel was only for the Jews or for others as well. And so when James speaks to this council, he quotes from Amos, the verses we just read in Acts chapter 15, verses 13 to 19. And God's word says this: when they had finished, James spoke up. Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this. As it is written, after this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. It ruins, I will rebuild, and I will restore it. And the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things, that have been known for the ages. James continues, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Did you pick that up? James was saying that the words of the prophets are in agreement that God is taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. Gentiles were non-Jewish people. Many of us are Gentiles, if not all of us. God has promised that his chosen people, the church, will possess the remnant of Edom. What that means is they will possess the entire promised land. And that'll include all the nations that bear his name to do these things. We are part of that Israel. He promises a time when food will be harvested well beyond the season of harvesting. In fact, all the way through to the season when the next seed is being sown. It will be a time when you will work and you'll be rewarded with abundance. And his people, the remnant of men who seek God, that is the church, will be planted in their own land, never to be uprooted. And because we have recently finished preaching through the book of Revelation, we know what that means. There is an eternity waiting for us where we will work and see the reward of God. We will have one king, and his name is Jesus. He will be the King of Kings, as verse 17 says. All the nations will see it. We recognize that the curse placed on the earth from Adam's sin will be lifted up. We recognize we will see God's goodness everywhere. We will be able to drink our wine and eat our food. What a promise and a future to look forward to. These verses show us that the curse of sin from the time of Adam, that curse that caused every single one of us to be separate from God, the curse that made us sinners, that curse will be removed and cause all the judgments of the book of Amos to come on us. Never. each one of us will have that curse removed from us. This leads us to the most important question of all. Who is in that remnant? And how can I be a part of it? As James said in verse 19 of Acts chapter 15, it's not difficult for Gentiles to turn to God. Those non-Jewish people, all they have to do is believe the good news. And the good news is that we can't remove the curse. There's nothing we can do. But Jesus can and has done so. He paid the ultimate price by dying on the cross. He paid for the curse with his own blood, which became a perfect sacrifice, meeting the need for God. On our own, we'll be like that stone stuck in the sieve, not able to get through as God shakes us, and we'll be removed and thrown away. But with Jesus, he reshapes us so that we have a new body. We become new creations with a new righteousness, and then we are able to pass through the sieve of righteousness and be found in this new and incredible future promised for the children of Abraham. And Galatians promises us that if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Because we belong to Christ, we are part of Israel. We are part of those from Abraham's seed who become the house of Jacob. And God will plant us in the New Jerusalem forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we are so thankful for your word. We are thankful that when we read through a book of Amos, even though there are judgments and judgments and judgments, there is a promise. There is a promise of a future where you reign. There is a promise that we can come to you through the good news of Jesus. Father, look into our lives, look into our hearts. See if there be any wicked way within us. Help us to confess our sins before you, to walk in the paths of righteousness, and to follow your plan for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.